So if we could have the PowerPoint, and for those visitors, there are sermon notes. So if you have a tendency to fall asleep, we have these for you that you can just follow along. And we're actually going to begin this morning with an apology, because I owe people an apology. And last week, I don't think I got to all the different blanks. And so the blanks, this is like highlights. If you're as old, as ancient as I am, you remember the highlight magazine sitting in the doctor's office. It's upside down and backwards in the square, all the answers to them. So my apology is this. You know, last week, I try and look a week in advance, but I do that Sunday evening. And it wasn't until Sunday evening that I realized that last Monday was Veterans Day. Oops. And so we did not acknowledge and thank our veterans, and I'm very thankful for our veterans, because the truth is, nothing is free. Immediately following this service is a free lunch. It's free to you, but it costs something. Hey, I was cooking all day yesterday. There's $30 in that chili that's in there. You know, earlier last week or 2 weeks ago, Carolyn had the sign-up sheet, and she was asking me what I was going to bring, and I said, well, the only thing I make is chili. She wrote it in ink so I couldn't erase my name. So anyway, the chili. There's 2.5 pounds of hamburger in that chili. There's a pound of pepperoni in that chili, and all kinds of other stuff in that chili. It cooked all day yesterday and all through the night. So, and my chili is the stuff with Old Bay alongside of it. Now, Carolyn said, she said, now spice it up the way you eat it. Well, if I did that, I'd have a whole pot of chili just for me, because I put raw onions in it and enough Old Bay in it to kill a crab. But anyway, there's onions, and I put cheese in there too. Real chili you should eat with a fork, okay? It's that thick. So the thicker the better is the chili I've got. So one of the things out there is there's no such thing as free lunch, and there's no such thing as freedom, because it comes at a high cost, is what I'm trying to say. It comes at a super high cost. And so I'd like anyone who has served in the military, currently served in the military, could you stand so that we can just thank you? If you've served in the military, come on, don't be shy. I know we got quite a few people. So can we just have, I'm just going to lead us in prayer right now, asking God to bless and protect. Because we have people all around the globe right now protecting us so that we can meet here in freedom. They're standing in harm's way protecting us, even right now. And so let's just thank the Lord for that and ask his blessing upon them. Father in heaven, I thank you for these men and women who have served faithfully in this country to protect this country and its freedoms. We know that freedom isn't free. Just like our freedom in Christ wasn't free to Jesus, it cost him on the cross. And we know that men and women sacrifice and serve in the military. And they're out there right now around the globe standing in harm's way to protect us so that we can be here right now with religious freedom, worshiping you. Please bless these men and women here and now. But I also ask that you would bless those men and women who are serving right now all over the place. And everywhere where there's a chaplain, I just pray that your power would come upon the chaplain, and chaplains would declare the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and may many of them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But I ask that you would literally send angels to guard and protect them, watch over them, bring them home safe to their parents and families. Father, please, please bless them. Not just because of who we are as a nation, but because of who you are, a loving Abba Father. And so, please, bless those individuals here and bless those people currently serving around the globe to give us freedom. And most of all, Father, thank you for Jesus Christ and the freedom that we have in Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your willingness to come and die in our place. Abba, Father, we pray all of these things directly to you, and we pray them in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus. Amen. And so, again, I apologize. I will start looking Friday nights for the week in advance so I don't miss something like that again. But don't hold me to that, because I miss all kinds of things. And so thank you. Thank you to those who have served faithfully. We really appreciate it. And last year when we did that, I was shocked because your wife stood up too, and I was like, wow, we've got couples that have served in the military. That's amazing. That is really cool. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your service. And today is also just a thank you day to those law enforcement individuals and first responders. When I went to each of the different leaders in the groups, and I'm not sure how many are here, but we're going to ask you to stand later. So just be aware that later in the service, at the end of the service, I'm going to ask for law enforcement and first responders, if you would stand, just so our people could recognize you and say thank you to you. And then I'm going to have a prayer. But that's about it. Everything else is free. There's no strings attached. We just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. And what we're about here at Buckhannon Alliance Church, we're about walking in intimacy with God. That really is our primary intent. We want to walk in intimacy with God. You know, I was thinking, you know, in the world today, I love West Virginia. I've only been here in March. It'll be February and March. It'll be 3 years. I should have been born here because I have zero PC in me. Zero. As a church, we don't have much PC either. Y'all know what I'm talking about? All y'all? You know what we do have? We have BC, biblical correctness. We don't have PC, but we got BC. And even more than that, we have walking in intimacy with God. That really is what we're all about. And I added to this, this is something new for everyone. If you're a visitor, it's new too. John 17:3, Jesus is praying for his disciples and everyone who would believe on his name, which includes us. And here's Jesus. Anything that is bold, underlined, and in red like this and in italics, it's words of Jesus. Now this is eternal life. Notice he doesn't say this will be eternal life, not this was, this is eternal life. That is one thing that we really need to understand. Jesus came and died on the cross so that we could have the abundant life now. We could have eternal life now. It's not when I was a kid growing up, and I grew up in the church. I've been in the church for 60 years and 9 months. Everyone get that 9 month thing? My mom had a rule. Either we were in church or in the hospital, she'd make either one a reality for us. Okay, the regular attendance of her dad, but it's a fact. It is a true fact. Jesus came, and see, as I grew up, I thought that eternal life began once I died. That's what I really thought. It's not true. Scripture, Jesus himself said, now this is eternal life. It's not will be. Jesus was on earth. He came to bring eternal life to us now. Intimacy with God now. And then he goes on to say, this is eternal life, that they may know you, not know in the future, not know in the past, know you now, the only true God. And by the way, we make no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's only one true God. There's only one true God. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is straight Jesus. This is Jesus talking. So if Jesus is the Son of God, then this has to be truth. I'm going to read it one more time. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So our goal here, what we're all about, is to simply walk in intimacy with God and then invite others to do the same. Walking in intimacy with God and inviting others to do the same. That's what, if you want the abundant life, if you're in deep weeds, if your life is in deep weeds right now, you all know what deep weeds is? I grew up on the Chesapeake Bay. If you got in deep weeds, you were going nowhere because your prop got all filled full of weeds and it'd cavitate and you're going nowhere. Your engine's running wide open and you're going nowhere. You've got to stop. Half the time you got to jump overboard. If you pull the engine up and you can't reach that far. If you're short, you're jumping overboard, cleaning the prop off, and then taking off again. If you don't know what I'm talking about, sorry. But that's the way it is. You got to stop, get cleaned up, and Jesus is the one that cleans the prop up for all of us. We want to walk in intimacy with Jesus. If your life is a mess, God wants to come and set you free. Set you free to love him, to give you the abundant life. So if you're in deep weeds, Jesus is a place to turn to. He's the person to turn to because he died to give us the abundant life and it begins now, not when we die. It continues on to then, but it begins here and now, according to my understanding of the text. And if you don't agree with me, if then I say you're welcome to come and straighten me out afterward. Okay, amen? Everyone is entitled to a wrong opinion, beginning with me. But I'm pretty sure I'm right on that rascal. So, okay, if you have your Bibles or there's a pew Bible, if you would please turn with me to Romans chapter 7. We are diverting slightly, a couple books later. Now, this is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. I cheated. I put a marker in my Bible. Don't they make these pages thinner and thinner every year? I'm telling you. Either that or my fingers are getting fatter and fatter. But I marked it early so I could get there. So I'm going to read, and I need my spectacles to do that. So I'm putting my spectacles on here. So I'm going to read the first seven verses, and this is what we're going to look at for today. Everyone, and it's specifically for today, and the first responders and those in authority, you can just relax because we're going to tell people to listen to you. Okay? We're going to tell people to listen to you and honor you and respect you because that's what Scripture teaches. You know, every Christian should be the best citizen in the country they're in. My first citizenship is heaven. Second one is here. And I should be the best possible citizen that I should be to bring glory and honor to God so that when people see my good deeds, they glorify who? Who they glorify? God in heaven. So when people look at me in my life, they should be seeing Jesus. That's what it says. So this is specifically Rome, Paul to the Romans, the Christians in Rome. Okay, verse 13, 1. Now I've had a chance to all turn there. That's why I'm prattling on like that, giving you a chance to find it. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. Man, that's not politically correct, is it? Everyone must submit to those in authority. That is not politically correct. It's biblically correct, but it isn't politically correct. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror over those who do right. But for those who do wrong, do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right. I love that. Just do what's right. Just do what's right. The Bible is direct, isn't it? That you got to love it. Just do what's right. Suck it up. Do what's right. Come on. Then do what is right, and he will not, and you will, he will commend you. For it is God's servant to do good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. Now here's where it really gets tough. This is why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servant, who give you their full time of governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Ouch. Now we're just going to unpack that a little bit, okay? Don't worry, the food's out there. It's not going to go away. Here's the context. And you might say, anyone here good at rationalization and justification for what you do? How about you get stuck in traffic and you rationalize, oh, I'm just making up time so I can speed. None of you would ever do that, right? None of you would ever do that. Hey, Lynette and I spent a summer in another country and talking about traffic laws and things like that. It was so funny. We would get in taxis and things and ride in taxis. Lynette was terrified. I thought it was just intriguing and cool. At night, when you'd come to an intersection, they'd just flash their headlights. And I said, why do you even have red lights and stop signs? And here's what the guy said. That just tells who's at fault after the accident. Their insurance rates were the highest in the world for many years. It was unbelievable. So here's the context. So you might say that, oh, but you don't understand. You don't understand. This is different from back in Paul's days. Back in Paul's day, this was written when Christians were being persecuted. Persecuted. Nero, just a couple years after this, Nero, depending on when it was written, we don't know exactly when it was written, or there's estimations, but Nero was during this time, and Nero literally took Christians and lit up his gardens at night by burning Christians alive. And what's Paul saying? Submit to the authority that's over you. So it doesn't fit to say, oh, it's different now. Oh, those were nice governments. Those were friendly people. They're not nice now. No, 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 no. They were under Roman persecution during all of this. Hey, the worst day of your life may turn into the best day of your life. What's the worst thing that can happen to me? My spiritual dad used to back me in the corner when I'd say, but what if, but what if, but what if? And I'd eventually back me into, well, I could die. Isn't that the best day of your life? Get to go to heaven. No more taxes, no more anything. We're going to get to that. So here's some biblical truths. Here's some just biblical truth. And here's the first one that I pulled out of this that I sense the Lord leading. Everyone submits. Everyone submits. We live in a world today that says, don't submit, don't submit, don't submit. Everyone submits to someone. Everyone. The only being in all the universe that doesn't submit to anyone is God the Father. When Jesus was here on earth, what did he say? Not my will, but thy will be done. C.S. Lewis once said, either all of us are going to say to God, not my will, but thy will, or eventually God will say to us, thy will, not my will. See, everyone who goes to hell chooses it. They choose it. Just look at their life here on earth. It's just going to be an extension of that, only a little bit warmer. And by the way, democracy is not biblical. They'll take all the votes they want in hell to install air conditioning, and it's not going to happen. Okay? It just ain't. My grandmom would be on me like Ugly on Ape right now because she said, ain't a word, don't use it. She also said, if you can't spell it, don't use it. I'm in deep weeds, okay? The point is, everyone submits. Everyone submits. Everyone submits. I've run my own business before. You want to talk about, I know so many people that get the entrepreneur myth over the years. They think, gee, I want to run my own business. I want to be my own boss. You run your own business, you're the boss of you're the servant of everyone that buys your product. Everyone. It's unbelievable. And half the time, they don't pay you. It's amazing. Everyone submits. Everyone submits. Second principle, or truth, God establishes the authorities. God is the one that establishes them. No matter how bad you think they are, God has established authority. It's a part of his plan. The kings of old were a part of God's plan. They are a part of God's order. Rebelling against authority is rebelling against God. You guys, I told you, 3 or 4 months after I got here, I got a speeding ticket. I won't name the city down south of here. Since then, so many of you told me that's a speed trap. We should have told you about that. I wish you did. But anyway, I had cruise control set at 65. And I see these red lights go on all over here. And I'm like, gee, I wonder what he's doing. Well, I found out real quick what he was doing. Sir, did you know it's 50 mile an hour here? I said, it's what? I sat in my cruise set on 65. I can see that. Did you know you were speeding? Well, sir, I didn't. I just had cruise set on 65. So you're telling me you were doing 65? Yep, that's what I was doing. What's your profession? Well, I'm a preacher. That's the way the conversation went. I said, I'm guilty. I was guilty. I am guilty. And even if he would have let me off, and he did, and it was 100 and some bucks, I don't know how much it was, I broke the law. I didn't know it, but I still broke the law. And you know, he was kind, he was courteous. They're trained to be that way, you know, and we need to be kind and courteous to them. I thanked him. And then he said, preacher, you got 2 more miles of 50. Then you can go back to 65. I'm like, thank you, sir. Thank you. Now, just in case you're wondering, civil disobedience is a term. You can look it up. There's all kind of books on it. Let's say that the government gets so bad that they're constantly asking you to do things that are contrary to the word of God. That's when civil disobedience comes in. And we have a great example in Acts chapter 5. And let me just tell the story here. So there is a place for civil disobedience. So the apostles, filled with the Holy Spirit, start preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And the government, the religious leaders of the day, the government said, you can't preach anymore in his name. They arrest him and bring him to court. And the apostles say, shall we obey God or man? Who are we going to obey, people? We're going to obey God. You can read in Acts 5. It's amazing. And the Sanhedrin noticed there was something different about these guys, and they said, here's the difference. They spent time with Jesus. Regular, ordinary people, but they spent time with Jesus. But what is so cool is toward the end there in verse 32, they accept the penalty with joy. It says that they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. That is biblical civil disobedience. You know, it could come sometime in our lifetime that we have to rebel against the government, but when we do, I hope that the same thing happens to us. We rejoice that we were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, anyone ever heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Did he die? Did he try and kill Hitler? He did. In his theology, in his mind, he felt led of God that Hitler was so evil and so wicked and so wrong, it was just, it was the lesser evil to try and take Hitler out than all the millions of people Hitler was killing. He could have escaped. There are multiple people here in the States that said, Dietrich, let us bring you back. Let us bring you back. Dietrich stayed there and paid the penalty for his rebellion. Dietrich was just like the disciples. So if you have in your mind you're gonna lean into civil disobedience one of these days, please turn to the scriptures and study the scriptures about it, because the American way is not the biblical way. I know I might get you angry at me. That's okay. I'm not here to be popular. I do not believe the American way is the biblical way to do civil disobedience. Now, all y'all know I've got lots of guns. I got lots of guns. But the American way is not the biblical way. There may come a time where we need to take up disobedience against the government. There may come a time, but we need to do it biblically. Okay? That's free, by the way. That's not actually a part of the text there. Only lawbreakers live in fear. Do you live in fear? You know, I don't fear our police at all, because our police are there to protect me and defend me. Only lawbreakers should be living in fear. It's what the text says. Those in authority are God's servant. Another truth, those in authority are God's servants. But I didn't say, when it's blue like that and underlined, that means there's a blank in your notes. That's all that means. Those in authority are God's servant to do you good. If you earn a ticket, just smile and receive it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit might be nice to you. I was coming home from a church. It was after midnight. I just wanted to get home. And I'm buzzing down the road, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, you're speeding. I slowed down to 55. I was doing 70 or 75. I just wanted to get home. Went around the turn. There's a police officer there. I'm like, well, Lord, I did slow down. He followed me for like 5 miles and then turned around. But you know, that whole 5 miles, I called Lynette and I said, hey, babe, I'm probably going to get a ticket here, just letting you know. And in my mind, I've earned it so many other times. I've earned it so many other times. Even though I slowed down, I really deserved the ticket, but for some reason, the Lord let me off that time, or that officer did, but I think God influenced him to go do something else. But I earned it. Please, please, please. Those in authority are God's servants. Yeah, there's a bad apple every once in a while somewhere, but so what? They are God's servants to do us good. If we are pulled over, I wish that police officer would have said, gee, there's something different about you. But he had to ask me. And I had to tell him I was a pastor. I wish he would have seen Christ in me so much that he would have said, you're a pastor, aren't you? Because usually pastors have lead foot, you know. Most of the ones I know do anyway. Are you with me? Because I've sat on planes and I've had people look over at me and simply say, you're a pastor, aren't you? No books out, no nothing. Do, 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 do. Hey, I believe it. I was in Georgia one time coming home. I spent a whole day up in the mountains just alone with God. And when I got on that plane, this lady looked over at me. She was two seats over. I had actually been praying, Lord, either no one by me or someone that's open and receptive. Because, you know, you get on a plane big as me, there's no room. There's no room, someone as big as me. And I'm like, please, no one beside me or someone that's interested. Sit down, and the lady just looks over at me and says, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, how do you know? I didn't have a book out, I didn't have anything. You just have this aura about you. Do, 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 do. And then she told me her life story, and I shared the gospel with her. I'm telling you, when we are walking filled with the Holy Spirit, there's something different about us. People can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. They can. They can. If they're looking for it, they can sense it. Next thing. If you knowingly break the law, punishment is coming. Expect it. And if it doesn't happen here, it will there. Over and over and over in the Word of God. See, my mom was a real estate broker for many years, and she hated selling. Mom, if you're listening, sorry about this. I didn't ask permission. She hated selling to Christians. You know why? Because Christians thought that their house should be worth way much more than it is, and they want to pay nothing for something because they're blessed of God. They think that because they're God's children, they should sell high and buy low. And they just have that mindset. She said, I'd rather deal with non-Christians because they're at least more honest. Because if I'm God's blessed one, then God's going to do all these favors like sell my house for more than it's worth and buy something for less than it's worth and rip people off. Over and over in the Word of God, it says that every word, every thought even, we will be judged by. And judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Now, I don't know what that means. It doesn't mean you're losing your salvation, that kind of stuff. But we're going to be accountable for what we do and don't do. We will be. It's coming. Christmas is coming. Santa's checking it twice. There is no Santa Claus. And I'm not equating God to him. I'm just saying there is someone keeping track. You know, I've often thought about this. They say that our minds actually are photogenic, that we remember everything. We just can't access it. You ever read any books on that? I've read lots of books on it because I tried to improve my intelligence. And some of you are thinking, keep working at it, preacher. Keep working at it. I've stopped because the Lord told me if I give you more, you'll be held accountable for more. And I'm like, I've got plenty now. I've got plenty now. So, but there are many books that say that it is photogenic because they take people in operating rooms and touch a portion of the brain and they remember stuff that they couldn't remember at all. It's cool stuff. It's amazing. But just think, we sit in a chair in heaven and the Lord puts something on our head or this big screen for everyone to see and it shows everything we've ever done that's not under the blood. Doesn't that put the fear of God in you? Does me. If we knowingly break the law, punishment is coming, unless we ask forgiveness and put it under the blood. fun message, eh? Hey, lunch is coming, though. Free lunch is coming. Okay, here we go. We're almost done. Two reasons to submit, and this is very important, two reasons. Here's the first one, to avoid punishment. And I got to confess, when I was 11 years old, this was my reason for praying to receive Jesus Christ, because I knew that if I would die, I was going to a Christless eternity. I was terrified. I ran to the front of that church and prayed to receive Jesus Christ. Now, I don't have fear of that. I don't have much fear of anything anymore, except for needles. I don't like needles too much. Or my blood. If I see a lot of my blood, I better lay down or I'm going to fall down. Your blood, I don't care about your blood. My blood, yes. Okay? Just being brutally honest. So, first motive is to avoid fear, which is, I believe, is like the first motive that many of us have. Gee, I don't want to spend eternity without Jesus. And you pray to receive Jesus Christ. The second one is for conscience sake. See, I believe at this level, it's fear that many people come to Christ, and some of them stay there all their lives. But there's greater motivations. There's love. I do things for him because I love him. Actually, it went from fear to duty. Anyone here stuck in duty? You do it because it's the right thing to do? You just know it's the right thing to do, so you do it. You go the extra mile because it's the right thing to do. And I'll probably get a reward. That's duty. Okay, that's duty. And there's a level of motive above that that is for love. And everyone that's married, just think about the last time you got your spouse a gift, birthday gift or Christmas. Did you think, oh, I got to get them something, I'll just get them the minimum? Or, man, I want to get them this special thing, and I'm going to figure out any way I can to get that. You with me? Make sense? See, love will make us go the extra mile, and it's a joy and delight. And I hope that even when it comes, because government officials are an extension of God, no matter who they are. I mean, there's a lot of people that hate Donald Trump right now. We should be praying for him every single day. I don't agree with everything he does. I didn't agree with the last president on much of anything, but I tried to pray for him every day. How many times are we praying for our local officials? I don't even know them by name. We obey first out of fear, second for conscience sake. And then, now's the real meddling. Give everyone what you owe. Taxes. Hey, I remember one year, and I promised. You know, it means nothing when a preacher says we're almost done. Even if I take my watch off, that means almost nothing. That means almost nothing. I grew up in a church, I know. So, taxes. We should be paying our taxes. If you're a good believer, if you're a follower and lover of Jesus, you should pay your taxes. Okay, it's what it says. I remember the year, see, pastors get a discount on some taxes and not on others. I have to pay Social Security. So the church, even if the church paid my Social Security, you know, if you work for someone, your employer pays half, you pay half. I pay all. And even if the employer, even if the church would decide we're going to pay all of it for you, I'd have to pay tax on that. It'd be considered income. That's just the way it is. And we used to get a Schedule 3 self-employment discount. And the first year I read the tax laws and saw that they removed that a few years ago. And they call it dual status now. So for federal reasons, you're considered an employee. For Social Security, you're self-employed, dual status. First time I read about it was about 15 years ago, and I'd always filed self-employed. The year I discovered that, I went to three accountants, and they said, oh, don't worry about it. You've done it in the past. Start next year. I'm like, but I know about it now. What it did is I lost all my deductions, all my ministry deductions. So it meant that I owed about $1,000 in taxes I wasn't planning on. So I had a choice to make. Go to the bank and take out a loan to pay my taxes or just start the next year. Took me a long time to pay off that $1,000. How can we be asking God to bless us with his presence if we know that we're not doing the right thing in other places? How can we do that? Is it worth not having the presence of God for $1,000? No. Revenue. You know, you may be in partnership and that kind of thing. And I have had my own business. My dad had his own business. And so many times there'd be a family meeting. Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? And they would, when it came to my turn, you guys already know what I'm going to say. Here's what the Bible says. Give to who has earned it. Just do it and trust God. Do it and trust God. Do it and trust God. The one is paying government, the other is paying other individuals that you might owe. I know many people that don't do this. I'm telling you, God says we should do it. And here's another one, respect. And my understanding of this word, and I could be wrong, our scholars can straighten me out afterward, but this word means, in both the Old Testament and New Testament, I think the term respect means I allow your words to actually impact me. Here's the opposite of it. Speak to the hand. No one ever seen Beautician and the Beast? It's an old, old, old movie. Fran Drescher, I can't even make my voice sound like hers. She's a governess to these teenagers. She says, speak to the hand. That is the opposite of respect. Respect is you let a person's words impact you. They actually have impact on you. That's my understanding of the root meaning of respect. In the Greek here, the root word is fear. You're allowing words to influence you. I regularly tell the elders in elders' meetings, I am listening to you. Because I ask every month, what can I do better? Is that true, elders? Do I ask that every month? What can I do better? How can I improve? And I either take notes or mental notes, and then I work on that. I just let them know, I really am listening. It may not look like I am, but I am, honestly. The greatest room in my life is the room for improvement. And then honor. Honor. I believe this is just my opinion. I believe that's more outward, that when we see someone, that we honor them. We show them deference. When we see a police officer, we don't say, hey, cop, or something like that. Hey, sir, thank you for your service. When we see someone in the military, we stop and thank them. When I went and delivered the posters to the couple different places that were officers, I shook every one of their hands and said, thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you. To honor them. Any amens? Amen. Hey, those in authority over us are sent from God. God has established them. This is the primary passage. And now is going to come the uncomfortable part. Pastor Trevor asked, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. So I don't want to embarrass. But anyone that is a first responder or law enforcement, could you just stand for a moment? And I just want people to see you so that they can thank you afterward, okay? Just stand. If you're in law enforcement or a first responder,